Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, all. Appreciate you joining us for this episode as we complete the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. So we're moving right along. What a chapter it's been as we've seen the devolving spirit of Saul. We've seen the elevation of David. Promotion doesn't come from the east or west or from the north or the south. It comes from the Lord. And the Lord loves to elevate humility because before honor is humility. And humility is always the road to God's elevations. And we're finding that to be true here in 1 Samuel 18. So John, good to have you back with us. We are in verse number 26. So we don't have a whole lot to cover today, but they are important verses, and we want to consider them carefully. 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse number 26. And when his servants told David these words. So, what words? Well, remember the conversation. Well, John, why don't you bring us up to speed? What's going on here, just to kind of get us into the today's context?
Yeah, sure, Pastor. Michael, Saul's daughter, loves David, and so Saul wants to try to use this occasion to kill David again. And Saul's servants come and say, "Hey, Saul loves you. He wants you to be his son-in-law." And David says, "I'm not worthy of that. I'm just a poor man." And Saul says, "Well, I'll give you another option. You can give me a dowry by killing 100 Philistines. You kill them, you bring me what I want, and then you'll be able to marry my daughter." And so that's where we pick up now with Saul having told David this, and now we're going to find David's response.
And the word of God has made it clear that Saul's intention was, "I just hope David dies in that battle while he's trying to win my daughter." Mm-hmm. So read the verse first again.
We find it says in verse 26, "And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired."
Did you hear me sneezing there in the background? That's why I had you read the verse, John. Man, I just breathed something in wrongly here. Don't have a cold, but there we go. Yeah, so David is pleased. David is still looking at this at face value. He is not assigning motive to Saul. There may be suspicion in his heart, but David is more than willing to do what Saul has described. David has no fear. These are seemingly insurmountable odds, but David has learned to trust the Lord, and David is in God's hands. And so this does not faze David one bit. Verse number 27, "Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men and brought their foreskins. And they came, they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife." So David goes above and beyond what the requirement was. He goes and kills 200 Philistines. And what a great indicator of the kind of servant David was.
It sure was. You know, David was not just I got to do this or check it off my list. David went out there with exuberance. He went above and beyond. And this is the kind of guy that goes the second mile, we often say today. That's the kind of heart David had. And, you know, I think as myself, to just apply it to my life, you know, as a worker, if I look at my life, well, this is my task. I just got to get this done. That's not the spirit that David has. That's not the spirit God wants us to have. God wants us to have a heart that is exuberant about doing what God's called us to do. And David is, you know, kills 200 men. He definitely is a hard worker.
We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. What a statement. And honestly, that is unprofitability in the sense that when we live our lives only to do the bare minimum, only that which is duty, when we live our lives by duty alone, that's really a low level of living. We ought to be inspired by by love's motivation. We ought to be inspired by what can be done. We ought to be inspired by reaching our God-given potential, not by some other man-given metric. And that's what David does here. And it's interesting because the Bible simply states, and Saul gave David, Michal, his daughter. And what option did he have at this point? There is the evidence that David has done not just what Saul has prescribed, and Saul no doubt thought this is so far above and beyond what's possible, that David goes to the level of the impossible by going to 200.
And I think Saul, when he sees David coming in now with all this, Saul in his heart has just got to be, you know, I cannot believe this happened. I thought he was going to die, but now not only has he done what I asked, he's gone double that. You know, Saul in his heart has got to sense again the presence of God in the life of David.
He really does. And what did we learn before? We learned that when Saul became aware that David had the Spirit of God, what Saul did not have, the Spirit of God, that caused a greater insecurity in Saul. So you have to imagine that each one of these evidences of the fact that God is with David, this is not human to be able to complete this. So obviously Saul's connecting the dots here, and that has to make Saul more and more insecure. I wonder how that wedding ceremony took place. You know, in today's weddings, you know, a dad gives his daughter away, but you wonder what was the pomp and circumstance? What was the, you know, if you could take a photo of Saul at that wedding, was it a plastic smile? I mean, think about that.
That's a good question, Pastor. It is so easy to look at these verses of Scripture, but not try to think through and put ourselves in these settings. But this is a great question. You know, what would it have been for Saul as he gave his daughter away? We know in his heart he could not have been happy. Saul would have been irate that this happens. But, you know, Saul is a politician at heart now. He is a politician in the bad sense, and he will continue to try to find ways to get at David. But this could not have been a happy day for Saul.
David had a big smile on his face. Young man, here's his first wife. They're madly in love. Michal has that look of pure love, joy, and affection. And Saul is wearing that politician smile.
That is for sure.
Look at verse number 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. So the two things that Saul could not deny is that God is with David and Michal loves David. And both of those were a tremendous burden to him. And yet, if Saul had a humble spirit, what better news could he have than the fact I've got a trusted servant and a son-in-law who walks with God, and I have a daughter who has a loving heart, a God-given love for her husband, who is my greatest general? I mean, to me, that would be like, I have four adult children. John, you have two adult children, and you know, and you have one daughter who's married. And I mean, what a blessing that you have a son-in-law who loves the Lord and who loves your daughter, and you look at your daughter and she loves him. There's nothing better than that. I mean, that's why you raise kids. There could be no blessing that would outpace that. And yet Saul, these two facts are what plague him.
Yeah, what a sad situation. This should have been a day of exuberance in every way, as you talked about. And I think in my own daughter's life, you know, early on, Penny and I prayed they would trust Christ as their Savior, pray they would follow God's will, pray that they would find a young man who loved God. And, you know, it's great to see how God's worked in my family's life. But when my daughter got married, that was a day of exuberation, just jubilance, because, hey, my daughter's marrying a young man who really loves the Lord and wants to follow God. And that should have been Saul. But that is not Saul, because Saul's focus is not even his children. Saul's focus is, I mean, in a good way, it's not. His focus is upon himself. Oh, poor me. My enemy did not die. And that is how David is viewed by Saul. And what a transitional chapter we have here. When it starts off, things appear to be going well in the family of Saul in the first verse of chapter 18 here. But by the end, we see a totally dark side of Saul. And what a sad transition has happened in the kingdom as Saul has continued to spiral downward.
And just think about the verbs here. Saul saw and he knew that the Lord was with David. Well, I mean, he couldn't physically see the Lord. He obviously could not see into David's heart, couldn't see the Spirit of God. But the Bible says he saw that God was with him, and he knew that God was with him. In other words, the attitudes and the actions of David's life made it irrefutably clear to Saul, God is with him, and I know that. I wonder if somebody could look at my life and say, I know that God is with him. I see it. I see it. People can't see the Lord sometimes, but they can see your faith in action. They can see your priorities. They can see your attitudes. And I wonder if my attitudes, the things that come out of my heart, that reveal themselves in my life. I wonder if it could be said that my worst enemy, the person that wants me dead, cannot deny that God is with me and he knows that. That's a powerful statement.
It's a very powerful statement, and it reminds me it does not take a spiritual person to realize that another person has God in his life. I mean, Saul's not a spiritual person right now. He's going against God. And yet even Saul in his sinfulness very quickly realizes God is with David. And that's same true in our life. As we follow God and serve God, people around us, whether they're lost or saved, can see God in us as we follow God faithfully.
And we have to rest in the fact that testimony has an influence. Because while the Bible tells us that Saul saw and knew, Saul never told David that. Saul didn't say, hey, David, let me tell you something. I really see Christ in you. I see God in you. I know that God's... He never said that, but the Bible tells us he thought that. I wonder if when Stephen was receiving those blows to his head and to his body from those rocks that were being hurled at him, as he died outside of by the gate of Jerusalem, I wonder when Paul, was watching that, he never said, I see God in him. He never said, I know that God's with him. But later on, Jesus said to Saul on the road to Damascus, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So what did that tell me? That tells me that Saul was seeing that. He did know that. He was convicted of that. He didn't admit it. And I would say to every one of you that are listening today, take solace in that fact. You know, you might be a child, you might be a teenager, and you might feel like this person doesn't like me, and this person hates me. And yeah, but what you don't know is as you behave yourself wisely, you are reflecting Christ. And they're seeing that. And in some cases, they know that. Now, they might not say it to you. They might hate you. Their insecurity might lash out at you, but never underestimate the power of a godly testimony.
That's a great reminder to us today, Pastor, about how that God can use us today as we serve him faithfully. Even people that are hard-hearted and are narcissistic and are focused on themselves, God can use our testimony as we follow him to speak to people.
Look at what it says in verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. So a third time now in one chapter, Saul's insecurity is just mounting. He's becoming more and more afraid, and Saul became David's enemy continually. I am going to spend night and day. I'm going to spend every waking hour. I'm going to go to bed thinking about this. I'm going to get up in the morning with this on my mind. This is going to drive me and consume me. I am going to find some way to get back at him. Verse number 30, then the princes of the Philistines went forth. It came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. So there's our contrast in the chapter stated here in the last two verses, John. Saul, afraid. insecure, looking for opportunity to kill David. David behaving himself wisely and receiving more and more adulation from the people.
And I love how David just goes on with his life. He serves God. He does what needs to be done. He goes out and fights the enemy. And if we find David, he actually is in a position that will continue to make him increase in the eyes of people, because he's going to have more and more victories. God's going to be with him. He'll lead the soldiers out, come back in. David is keeping on doing what God's called him to do. And as he is faithful in doing this, his estimation will just continue to rise. But Saul will continue to just hate him more and try to kill him.
Great, great lessons. Great lessons for all of us. And I hope that you'll not soon forget 1 Samuel chapter 18. What an instructive passage when it comes to the wrong kind of leadership, the right kind of response. So consider these thoughts, chew on them, get ready, because we're going to jump into a brand new chapter next episode. Hope you have a great day today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.